There's quite a lot to talk about in the fourth aliyah of Parshas Vayechi, which relates the brachos that Yaakov gave to his sons, and starts off by telling us that he wanted to actually say more than that. And the pasuk begins, "Vayikra Yaakov el banav vayomer heyosfu veagidu lachem esa sheyikra eschem ba'achar esayamim." You should gather, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the end of days, in the achar esayamim, what the end is going to be. And the Gemara tells us in Pesachim and Daf Nivav Med Aleph that he wanted to be Megala the Kates. He wanted to reveal the future, as the Pasuk indicates. And then he found that he couldn't remember, that the Shechina left him, and that he didn't have the ability to relate what was going to happen. And he was worried that maybe that meant that there was something lacking in his children, and that they were not faithful. So to that they respond, say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that you should listen, O Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, that you believe in one God, so do we. Kishem she'ein b'libecha ele echad, kach ein b'libeinu ele echad. We also believe there's only one God. So to that he responds, Baruch Shem kavod malchuso le'olam v'ed. And the Gemara says that because of that, they weren't sure how exactly to structure Kriya Shema. That on the one hand, this phrase, Baruch Shem, is not in the Kriya Shema of Moshe. We don't have that in Sefer Dvarim. But Yaakov did say it. And the resolution the Gemara has, it should be whispered. So what exactly is going on is a topic of a lot of discussion. It's the Sefer Maram Shek al HaTorah, where they collected comments of the Maram Shek in many different places and put it together in Sefer al HaTorah. And he actually explains this at least four different ways. But just to convey one of them, he says that this is Yaakov saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Amvayed, because it relates his awareness that even at the moment of death, he's not afraid, because the reality of God's everlasting glory is reassurance of the eternal good of God's creation. And the rabbis were unsure whether or not they should include that in Kriya Shema, because Moshe had omitted it, due to the fact that the Torah is a book of mitzvos, to be observed in of themselves, and not due to the promise of eternal protection. But they also realized that people need the encouragement, and therefore they instituted that it should be recited quietly. So that's how he understood. There's a comment in the Targum Yerushalmi, commenting on that Gemara in Pesachim, that Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed, that's Yehesh Merabim Mavarech Le'olam Ve'Olam Ve'Olamayim. It's the same thing. And there's a discussion about this in the Sefer Shari Ora of the Meir Tzvi Bergman, where he explains the connection between the two, and the idea of both of them is that what Yaakov was afraid of was that, okay, so his sons, they have faith, but maybe they're not going to have that faith if things get really bad in the real darkness. And he had a sense of all the ups and downs the future was going to hold, and maybe they wouldn't be able to handle it, they wouldn't be able to keep their emunah to the same degree, even when things were very difficult. So therefore he said to them, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, that God's name should be blessed, La'olam Vayed, all the time, not only when it's good, but in all circumstances. And that is such a powerful statement, so that's able to bring everything to where it needs to be, that not only in the good times, but even the difficult times, he recognized that that is also part of God's bracha. And so the notion of Yehesh Merab Mavarech, essentially the same thing, La'olam Vilme Omaya. But we're told that whoever says that b'kol kocho, so all of his gezeros against him are ripped up. And the Shari Ora explains that even though it's the same thing as Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, but maybe we focus on Yehesh Merabah because that's said publicly. It's a public declaration. That's certainly the context, the Tzidik Adin, that if somebody says in a state of Avelis that in all circumstances, all of Omi Omaya, God's name should be blessed. So that was the message that Yaakov was conveying to his sons. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in the Sefer Darash Moshe as saying that Yaakov said it and not Moshe, because we only say it when everyone in Klal Yisrael is saying Kriya Shema together. And that's why in Yom Kippur we say it out loud, because in Yom Kippur we assume that everyone is doing Shuva together. It's a Yom Mechila Slicha for all of Klal Yisrael, so therefore that's the time to say it out loud. So this whole question that the Gemara has, so what should we do? Should we say it or should we not say it? Should we say it quietly? So the Maharsha explains that the issue is that if we're going to put a sentence in that Moshe didn't say into Kriya Shema, that could be an offense against Moshe. But we don't want to leave it out because Yaakov said it. So therefore, to compromise, we say it in a quieter voice. So we're saying it, but we're not offending Moshe Rabbeinu by including something he didn't say. Now, the Noda Behuda in his Sefer in the Tzlach on the Gemara, so he thinks it's more of a straight halachic question that there's an issue of a hefsek. Not allowed to say anything in between Shema and V'ahavta. That's a Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak of Brachos. That's a din. Not allowed to be mafsik. So that's what the Gemara is wondering about. So he comes to a conclusion there, which probably shouldn't be mafarsim. It would definitely be bad if people in Shul got the idea that this was the way to act, but that maybe a whisper is not considered to be a hafsik. Presumably the logic is that if it's something that's clearly set aside from what it's in the middle of, so maybe that doesn't create a interruption. Rabbi Warman, Zichron Lebrach, Sefer Sheiris Yosef, so he also notes that this could explain the view of the Rakeach and Hilchos Shabbos, that the Shomru on Friday night should be said quietly. So why is that? So there's a discussion whether you can say anything at all over there right before Shema Esrei, and maybe that's a hefsek between the Bracha of Gula and the Amida. So he thought maybe based on the Tzlach that the idea was that maybe you could say it quietly, so then it's not going to be a hafsik. Okay, but there's a fascinating interpretation in the Sefer Aruch HaShulchan about how you can use the story in the Gemara to explain a very unusual practice that we have, or at least that the Ashkenazim have. There's a machlokas in Rishonim, which translates mostly to a machlokas among Ashkenazim and Sephardim, about how to recite the brachos on tefillin. That the Ashkenazim, for the most part, recite two brachos. They recite lohaniach tefillin, putting on the tefillin shel yad, and then they say al mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin shel rosh. And many Sfardim don't do that because it's machlokas rishonim. The Gemara mentions those two brachos, but says that you should only say the second one if there's a hefsek, or that there's something that should be different if there's a hefsek. So the machlokas is, does that mean that if there's a hefsek between the two, then you should recite both brachos again on the tefillin shel rosh? Or does it mean that really, ideally, you should only say the bracha of lahaniach tefillin, and that al mitzvah tefillin is only said at all if there's a hefsek? So that was a machlokas. So the practice that many have is to recite both brachos, and then after the second bracha, to say baruch shem kavod malchus olam vay. So what's the idea over there? It's the Nosei Kelim explain that because the suffix is machlokas whether to make that second bracha, so therefore we say baruch shem kavod malchus olam vay, because we know that's a way to be metaking if you say bracha shein etzricha. So you fix it by saying baruch shem kavod malchus olam vay. So therefore, because this bracha is a suffix, so that's what we do. Now the Aruch HaShulchan notes it's very strange. Normally the rule is suffix brachos lahakel. If we're not sure about a bracha, we leave it out. What's this idea that because we're not sure, we're going to say it and then say baruch shem? So he suggests a whole different hesber. And he suggests what's going on is that really the idea of two brachos on tefillin is itself interesting. Although you find that sometimes when it comes to mitzvos, that sometimes there's a bracha on the mitzvah, a standard asher kedushanu, mitzvos of etzivanu bracha, and sometimes there's another bracha that's there as a bracha of shevach, a bracha of praise on the whole experience. And he suggests that that's what's going on, that there is a bracha on the mitzvah of tefillin, that's lahaniach, and then there is the bracha of the bond that tefillin represents between God and the Jewish people. The Gemara says that God also wears tefillin. So we make a bracha on that connection, and therefore we use this idea, baruch shem kavod malchus olam vayed, to emphasize that that's what it's about, because that's how Yaakov responded to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That whole notion about the relationship between God and the Jewish people is emphasized with this baruch shem kavod malchuso. So we say that when making the second bracha on tefillin, because that's the nature of that second bracha. It's a berachas hashavach, a very fascinating idea. It's also a discussion the poskim in general that if we understand that baruch shem is now considered to be an integral part of Kriya Shema, so it's a tshuva in the Lev of Ram, of Ram Weinfeld, and Siman Yud Aleph, he has a tshuva about this. Because clearly we have to be asking this on a level with the Rabbanim, because the phrase is not there in the text in the Chumash, even though there is a discussion that sometimes we have the idea that maybe Chazal can redefine a mitzvah on a Daraisa level as well. But in any event, the Magen Avraham quotes views that somebody who leaves out Baruch Shem does not have to repeat the Kriya Shema, but he himself decides with the view of the Levush that you do have to repeat Kriya Shema, even if he said Baruch Shem, but he said it without sufficient Kavana. So he holds it's really a crucial part of the Kriya Shema experience, practically speaking. So the Rambam has a comment also about the idea of the Baruch Shem, that Yaakov was afraid that in the future his sons would stray, and therefore that would cause them to split and to perpetuate the galus. So he told them to function as a unit. And the Slonim Rebbe in the Siva Shalom, he says, therefore it's the idea, he asked for the Agida, that you should come together like an Aguda, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. And the notion of coming to create Achdus is going to be a safeguard against that. It should be a safeguard against that. And the Talmud Dimsky talks about this also in his Sichos. He says that's the whole nature of the Yisachar Zvulun model, about the idea of working together and coming together, and therefore that's the bracha of Menashe and Ephraim. They had that kind of relationship. And if that's the case, then maybe it could be, you know, the Pasuk says later on that Yaakov is quoted by the brothers as telling Yosef that he should forgive them. And the Gemara says in Yevamos that maybe he didn't actually say that. And this was an example of being Mishanev Tnei HaShalom. They were saying something not true in order to bring about the peace. But it could be that maybe on some level he did say it, even if it wasn't so explicit. But maybe that's the idea of you should create a unit and you should come together. And that's a big theme of a lot of these brachos. And the Pasuk says, Ish ki brachoso berachosam. Sfas Emes has a comment that even though he gave each one individual bracha, but he gave the bracha to all of them, that everything that each one has should be for the benefit of the klal. The Sfas Emes said that's also the pshat, when the Mishnah says, in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, that if I am not for myself, then who will be? But if I'm only for myself, then what am I doing? So he says that that's the idea in general, that we all have potential that we're here to maximize and to develop. But why are we doing that? We're developing it because it's going to be contributed to the klal. And so that's the notion of these brachos for everyone. And this next pasuk here, the second pasuk, where it says, Hikavtsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov v'shimu el Yisrael avichem. You should come together and you should listen, and you should listen to your father Yisrael. So they have that double language of v'shimu. So it sounds like from Unkelus that one is about listening and one is about being mekabel. You need to do both. And the Sefer Abir Yaakov, so he emphasizes this idea that everyone is getting a bracha, even though it seems that some of them are just being criticized. It seems that it doesn't sound so blessing-like, but each one is receiving a bracha in the whole context. So sometimes it's a general bracha, and some gets more specific bracha, but you have to listen to both. So maybe that double language of the Shemu is saying, pay attention to the details and pay attention to the general message, to what each one gets and what all of them gets. That's all a part of it. So just to say a few quick ideas about some of these brachas, we won't go through all of them, but for example, if we look in Pasuk Hey, so it tells us the bracha of Shimon V'Levi Achim, and here Rashi tells us, Rashi talks about Yisachar and Zvulun, that they would not talk in front of their older brothers. And this was brought as a raya in the Sefer Shlis Yaakov. In his Tshuvas, he talks about the din of being mechabed an older brother, Kivur Acha Gadol. And there's a discussion as the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, what that din is. Is that a din in Bechor? Or is that a din in the assumption that the parents would want that, that the parents, the kibud that goes to the parents, includes fulfilling their wish that there should be a family hierarchy, that the younger siblings should respect the older siblings. So one of the major nafkaminas is that according to the Rambam, it would apply only to an oldest brother. But according to the Ramban, it would apply to all older siblings, whether they are brother or sister, or whether they are older or oldest. So one of the rayas that Shlis Yaakov brings is from this Rashi over here, that you see Yisachar and Zvulun didn't speak in front of their older brothers, not only the Bechor, but their older brothers. But related to Shimon and Levi, so here, if you look at Pasuk Zayin, it's a very powerful statement, where Yaakov was talking about their anger, and he's upset about what their anger does, and he says, Arur apam, that their anger should be cursed. You recognize the very dangerous power of anger, and the Malbim explains that it is a curse for anger, because even when it's appropriate, you see that it overflows. You see that it ends up doing more damage than it should. And it's not something that people are able to control and to direct positively, even when it's necessary. So, therefore, he curses the anger. The discussion before should have different ways of saying it, that maybe the anger shouldn't be as powerful as it is, or they shouldn't be successful with that which is driven by anger. So they'll come to realize they have to control the anger. But there is this powerful statement about the impact of anger, and we know the Rambam writes that this is a midah that we have to completely stay away from, not even have a little bit of, and the Gemara says that kas is considered to be like avodah zarah, and they explain that the comparison is that just like avodah zarah is a foreign force, so too kas is a foreign force, and it can control you in ways that you don't want and don't necessarily appreciate, and therefore it has to be something that itself has to be controlled, and that's perhaps what this message is. And if you go on to look a little bit further, so if you look at Pasuk Yud, so the Pasuk says, Lo yasur shevet mi'Yehuda, u'mechokek mi'ben raglav, arki avoshilo, v'lo yikas amim. So here there is the bracha that Yehuda will always be the king, and that it should never go away from him. So the Ramban here has the whole story of what happened to the Chashmonaim, that the Chashmonaim, they took over the Melucha, and that was wrong, that was a violation of this, and therefore they had a terrible outcome. And I go back to Sefer Shariyor, Bergman has a whole discussion about this, is what's so terrible, okay, so it's not exactly perfect, but the idea that it should be such a consequence, why is that the case? I mean, there's a whole discussion there about Derech Eretz, and if you recall, we spoke about this also last week, the same idea, he was also quoting with Bergman, and just re-emphasized, so he talks about the Midah of Derech Eretz and how crucial it is, and he brings a long list of proofs, it goes on through many pages, bringing many proofs of just how much Yaakov was committed to Derech Eretz, and how much, if you look carefully, you can see that Derech Eretz was what he was all about. And when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Amein Derech Eretz Ein Torah, Amein Torah Ein Derech Eretz, as we mentioned last week, that he quoted from the name of Rav Shach, his father-in-law, that sounds like a chicken and the egg. So how are you going to know, how are you going to have anything if you need one to have the other? So how are you going to start? You can't have Torah without Derech Eretz, so then how are you going to have Torah? And if you don't have Derech Eretz without Torah, so how are you going to have Derech Eretz? So how do you have to start somewhere? So he explained there's two different definitions of Derech Eretz. That there's a basic Derech Eretz, which you can see from the whole world, and that's a prerequisite to Torah. And then, once you learn Torah, so then you can pick up on this higher level of sensitivity and realize that there's so much more to do with Derech Eretz. So Yaakov, as he goes through all these examples, he was all about Derech Eretz, and here he is commanding to his descendants that this is how things should be, and so to just ignore that, to ignore the command of the Zakein is a lack of Derech Eretz, but it also, even more fundamentally, so it disconnects from the whole tradition, from the whole point of where everything comes from. So therefore, it has terrible consequences. And he goes on to say that this is a theme that we really find throughout the Brachos, and this was a part of what he was mad about Shimon and Levi about also, that they didn't take Eitzah from each other, they didn't take Eitzah from their elders. They didn't have this Midah of Derech Eretz. And this higher, refined Derech Eretz as a part of the legacy to his children, this is a major part of what he's trying to convey. And so the Aliyah ends with the famous line, Yeshuascha Kivisi Hashem. And there are many different interpretations in the Rishonim as to what exactly is being conveyed here and who is saying this, this idea that I'm waiting for your Yeshua. So it sounds like most understand this is something Yaakov was saying as a expression of Hodah or as a bracha. And the Zohar has a comment, Hakol B'kivui, that everything only happens because we are waiting. That's what noted, it's what's known as Isurusu Mutata, that there's a awakening that comes from us, that comes from down below. And the relationship here, it makes a good bookend to the Aliyah. This connects the end of the Aliyah to the beginning of the Aliyah. The Slimer Rebbe explains in Nesiva Shalom that at first we see the Aliyah begins that he loses his Nevuah because he's about to reveal the Kates. So What's the idea of not being Megala the Kate? You know, the Rambam writes as an Isser of being Megala the Kate, so what's so terrible? So some understand that if you're going to try to assess when the Yeshua is going to come, and then it doesn't, so that, as we know, we've seen many times in history in many different cultures, so that creates a Chalisha Sadas that's going to make people lose their Emunah when there's a prediction that something's going to happen and then it doesn't happen. But as the Rambam also notes, it could be the opposite, that if you believe, if you're told that, okay, it's going to happen at this point, so then the people will lose any faith that it could happen any earlier. And that's its own problem. We have to believe that Bita Chishena, that it will come certainly Bita, but possibly we can speed it up. If we're worthy, Chishena, we can bring it earlier. So that's the problem of being Megala the Kates. And so Yaakov lost his Nevuah because he was ready to be Megala the Kates, and it has that risk of minimizing the power of Emunah. But then by saying, L'shuascha kivisi Hashem, that this is my eternal attitude, that I'm always going to be awaiting your redemption, so then that offsets this issue, and that's what brings it back, and that's what closes the circle here. So it's a lot of fascinating ideas that come out of this Aliyah and this bracha to all of Klal Yisrael, and indeed, like this Fasana said, we should take the awareness that all of these brachos are here to benefit the Klal, and we should have that sense of achrayus, that all of our potential we should seek to fulfill so that we can do what we're here to do, but also that everyone around us can do what they are here to do. And in the schus of that, we should have uplifting and inspiring and successful Shabbos.